Hello, everybody. A few seconds early. So, looks like we still have a lot of people to sign on yet. Devin, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah. So, why don't we just unmute everybody and say hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
Goedemorgen.
Good afternoon.
Yes. I think I'll turn off my cell phone so it doesn't make any noise at anybody. So, how was that? I know you can't answer, but let's see. I want to really get everybody on here. We're still having a lot of people signing up right now, so I don't want to get into any major discussions until we get more people signed up. But just as a show of hands, we'll do this again a little later. How many of you made it through the release process? Just hit one if you made it through release. Okay. The number one on the keypad if you made it through the release. How many made it past the release? Okay, let's erase everything and start over again.
Okay.
Yeah, there was nobody. Okay, how many made it into, let's go back here for a second. Just excuse me a moment while I check something else. Okay. I'm just trying to get this thing. Sorry, I got a little technical difficulty of my own for a moment. Okay, how many of you made it and had a good insight and hit one if you did? Just kind of get a show of hands here. All right, that's pretty good. And how many of you then went from there to the remorse? And so erase everything and hit one again if you got into good remorse levels. Oh, very good. A lot of you got there, and more of you are showing up right now. And then how many of you got into forgiveness? Let's erase the numbers and start over. Hit one if you got into the forgiveness. Nice, nice. And then how many of you were able to tap into the self-love? Then had it go, just how many really hit that level of self-love? Nice. Beautiful. And then how many of you felt that self-love become like overwhelming? Erase the numbers again. Start over, and hit one.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, and hit one if you felt that overwhelming love. You got to the other side of it. The numbers go down each time we do this, but
mm-hmm.
It's so exciting when people are doing it. So, let's see. How many people do you have on now? Oh yeah, we've got most people on now.
Yeah, that's about what we left off with yesterday, and some people can't make the call today, so that's probably
right.
Accurate.
And they can listen to it, of course.
Right.
So let's leave those hands up for a moment. And of those of you who made it through self-love, I think it would be really excellent if you wanted to share what the experience is, because you're showing the map to the people who haven't made it yet. And it would be really excellent to if anybody wanted to share. So how can we do this without naming them specifically? Okay, well, I'm going to just make a note who they are. Let's see. Give me a second. Okay, so let's put the hands down. And if any of you would like to share some of that experience with us. You don't have to be specific about your particular story, but just how it was getting through. Why don't you raise your hand now? We'd love to hear from some of you who have done that. Excellent. All right.
Okay. You ready?
These don't look like the same people who just had had gone through all the way, but let's hear from them anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Lizzie. Go ahead.
Hi. I felt just, it was just an overwhelming feeling of light, and it just spread out from me.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was just amazing. It just grew and grew and grew.
Yeah. And so you got through the release and
and
the insight that you had actually done this to yourself.
Yeah.
And then the remorse that you had hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And then the forgiveness and then the love.
Yeah.
What was the condition you were working on?
Overweight.
Overweight? Okay. And even though the weight isn't going to just fall off overnight, how do you feel now?
How do I feel now?
Yeah, emotionally about the whole situation.
I feel really good.
Yeah.
Really good. I feel like I got my power back.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yes, that's how I feel.
Beautiful.
It was amazing.
Wow. Is there anything else you'd like to tell people about that?
Well, when I did the insight part and the feeling, the first, you know, when you feeling all the feelings, the remorse, I guess it is, I couldn't really name them because I went back to a very young age.
Yeah.
But I really felt them as if I was that age, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Really profound.
And you found something that accounted for the need to have the weight.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. It has to do with protection, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't really need it now, do I?
Well, we make decisions.
I'm an adult now, and
yes.
I'm not a little kid trying to be protected from all this stuff out there.
Exactly. So we make decisions under duress, but then we don't reexamine the decisions, and we live with those decisions.
Right. Or else we're afraid to go there. I mean, when you go back, at some point you lose your words when you're going back into your childhood,
mm-hmm.
and that's really overwhelming.
Yeah.
That's, I think, why I never went back there before.
Exactly. That is so beautifully stated. And anything else you want to share? Because this is just beautiful, beautiful.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth, I think that's really a good statement, too, that it's worth it. It's worth the journey.
Yes, yes, most definitely.
So by comparison, just to kind of get perspective on it, it brought up some old pain, right?
Yes.
And it was painful going back into that pain.
It was extremely painful. And it was even more painful because I was so young, I really didn't have words.
Yes.
So that made it frightening and overwhelming to a certain extent.
And now that you're on the other side of it,
uh-huh.
it's so worth it.
Yes. Yes, totally.
10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times.
A million times.
A million times. For going through the pain.
Right.
I
think it was easier to go through it because I knew what was coming up. I mean, the whole me knew that on the other side there was this awesome love.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to go into it fully.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you found that, and that's what's so incredibly valuable in this whole thing, is that you got to the other side. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the workshop.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah. All right. Let's go for some next one.
Okay, Ava.
Ava.
Something happened for me.
Say it again, Ava.
That it was really amazing and interesting that I had an insight. But not, well, I went through the, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I went through the first part, the release part. I did like 25, 30 minutes or even more of the feeling the pain. And then, you know, deciding that I have to be good to myself. And instead of the hot bath, I started working on the, self-love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I forgive myself and so on. And something interesting happened that I was working actually on my vision loss that I lost after members of my family suddenly died, you know, in a lot of pain some 8 years ago. But going into that, it took me back to another time when I was about 11. And I felt abandoned.
Yeah.
And when I went, when that one came up, then I said, oh, this must have been the same feeling that I had 8 years ago when these people died, my mother and my lover. And so it must have been the same feeling as when I was abandoned once, 11. And doing the self-love and saying that it's okay, like talking to that little girl that it's okay, I'll take care of you, you're not lost. And I had a pain for the last 3 weeks, actually, over my heart. And as a matter of fact, I started growing a lump, and I'm supposed to go for a biopsy even. But that pain completely disappeared.
Did the lump disappeared?
When I, the lump is there.
Okay.
But
the emotional?
I think the whole area, it was so painful and inflamed and sore, and it just disappeared.
Isn't that amazing?
I just noticed it when I finished this release that, you know, I love myself and I love that little girl who was abandoned at age 11, and I take care of that little girl, and I don't know how it worked out, but the pain is just totally gone.
Isn't that incredible?
I think I'm going to cancel my appointment for the biopsy Wednesday.
Yeah, go back for the biopsy when it's all gone. Or wait another week, you know, until it seems that the healing has gone as far as it can. Then get it checked out. You know, it's something about working the magic. I'm not saying don't get the diagnosis.
Definitely get
the diagnosis.
It seems like, you know, whatever was bothering me there, and it was bothering me so much I couldn't sleep anymore.
Yeah.
So just turning on my side was painful, but it's totally gone from this process.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, remember
my vision is not better.
Remember
that it didn't.
Well, you know, these things take time, and you might have to go deeper. You might have to go deeper to
I think
start.
I have to work more because I wasn't able to do the guilt or the forgiveness.
All right.
I just didn't see there was any of that.
All right.
There
well,
for me.
You know, what's really wonderful about this process and a theme I'm going to be harping on today is that you know where you are in the process. You've got a clear, simple map to know where you are. And on any particular issue, you can say, oh, well, I'm still on release, or I'm, you know, dealing with the insight, or I don't want to go through the remorse. Whatever it is, you know where you are, and you can move forward from whatever spot that you are.
Well, one problem that I had was that I didn't see anywhere where I could put myself either blame or guilt that these things happened.
Right.
Like, I never had the feeling I did it to myself.
Well, this is where the insight comes in. You see, you just have to go deeper. I mean, you're making progress, obviously, because your pain's gone down.
Yeah, this was just amazing that, you know, I realized that it was the same pain that I've been carrying all those years.
Exactly. But the point is that you carried that pain all those years. And that you, just think how your life would have been different if you hadn't been carrying those pain all those years. You did that to yourself.
I can't even imagine because it had such a big influence.
I know. That's the point. It's hard to imagine. But when you realize how you've hurt yourself by carrying that pain all those years, you didn't have to carry.
Well, you know, I can't feel guilty because
I'm not saying guilt. No, we're not talking guilt. There's no guilt involved in this whatsoever.
How do you do the forgiveness?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. You're jumping ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You let yourself feel remorse. Yes, I hurt myself. I did that to myself. I didn't have to carry that pain all these years. I could have done this work years ago. I could have released this pain. And look how I limited my life. That's where the remorse comes in. Okay?
Well, had I known about this work.
Of course. But you also have to do the work. You could have known about the work. I mean, there are some people who take the workshop and know about the work, but they don't do the work.
This was so amazing, honestly.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
To have gotten rid of that pain, or just without even me noticing it, it just suddenly wasn't there.
Isn't that, you know, one of the corollaries of this work is the body has the ability to be sick, not as a dysfunction, but as a communication from our own higher consciousness.
I believe it now.
Yeah, and now you believe it. Now you've experienced it. Well, thank you, Ava. Really appreciate it.
I thank you.
Okay, good.
Thank you. That was just an amazing thing to happen.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I know, but until you really don't experience something, you don't really know.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Thank you. The reason I like to start with the people who succeeded is because it gives everybody else more inspiration for the ones who are finding themselves stuck. And thank you. I really appreciate that. Okay, let's go on to the next person.
Okay, Diane.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. While I was in the release part, I think that the insight and remorse kind of came right along with it.
Yeah.
So I tried to separate myself because you have the steps here, but it was like a hologram, and I did go through all the way to 7, but when I got to 7, I felt more of a very deep peace other than overwhelming love.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I know also that after I was done, and actually during the process in the hologram, I realized that it went even further back than what I was working with. And so some more issues came up and a lot of more emotions and judgments around that.
Right.
My question to you, Richard, is because it happened when I was really young, there was confusion. And so I don't know if you have anything to tell me about confusion because...
Well, confusion is when it's like holding a newspaper too close to your nose and you can't read it. It's where you're not letting yourself get enough perspective, enough distance from it so that you can actually feel the emotions. It's a way of not having to feel.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it sounded like you started hitting some deeper issues along the line.
Right. Right.
And so rather than just be scattered, what you need to do is regroup and say, okay, let me write all this stuff down. Let me go back and say, what is the biggest issue among these? Let me dive in and do that specific process on that bigger issue and go in there and work with it.
Right. Yeah, I did write it all down.
Yeah, good.
I know I had more work to do with it.
Yeah.
But, the confusion, I guess it was because I was so small, I didn't realize what was happening. And my mother was telling me something that happened, and I just, like, was dumbfounded.
Right.
And that was an interesting word that I found, dumbfounded. It was, like, confusing me because I was so little. I didn't understand, and I don't really know that her perspective was right.
Yeah.
Because well, I didn't feel that way. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So I.
Well, you got now, you got some more work to do, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it was very helpful, and the original pain that I started working with has changed and is much better, and I feel stronger.
And you know what I think that is? I think that's a communication from your higher consciousness saying, okay, you're on the right track, Diane. You're moving forward. This is really good. Now keep doing more.
Yeah.
And then
okay.
for I think it was Ava, we talked a minute ago, her pain just melted away. It was gone, right? And and I forget the woman before that. And, you know, it's like the gratitude and the love and the joy she felt was, you know, thousands of times more profound than the excruciating pain that she went through to have to go there to get to the other side, right?
Right.
So hang in there. Keep going. You're doing good.
Okay. Thank you, Richard.
You bet. Sure.
Okay, let's go with Donna.
It's Orion.
Hi. Yeah, it's Orion. And I didn't hear the very beginning, so I don't know if you're restricting it to people who have gone through the whole process.
No. Let's just take it from
but
where
I've
we are.
But I've had some really, really interesting insights. And
yes.
I heard, well, if anyone wants to share, so I pressed one. But I got up this morning because some stuff got in the way yesterday. I got up this morning and I started working on the release process because I finished doing all the discovery last night. And, you know, I mean, in the past I've done things like, you know, beating up on pillows and stuff and only hurt myself emotionally and physically.
Exactly.
This was so profoundly different, you know. A couple of the big insights is like, for example, I had an older sister who was just crazy. I guess she had been sexually abused by a previous husband and nobody knew it, and she was just insane. And I felt like I had anger, and then I was like, even though I was trying to meditate and go back to infanthood, you know, and pre-infanthood, I was like, well, how can I be angry at her? She couldn't help that. But what I realized was when I went into the eggshell part, it's not necessarily, at least for me, it wasn't necessarily about having that beautiful person come out. It's that person who could completely say, I'm so sorry that I wasn't completely present and calm and full filled up with love.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I was not only not taking up space, but I was just naturally, you know, emanating that love into you. And it was really interesting, because then once I saw, you know, once I realized I needed to do that in order to be able to feel the anger, then I was able to go back and feel the anger to someone mm-hmm. who was maybe as helpless as me.
Right.
You know, I ended up feeling anger towards a younger sister as well, and realizing it's not about demonizing them.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's about feeling the anger and allowing it to come out and knowing, you know, well, and it was really, really hard sometimes to, okay, well, how do I allow this person, how do I imagine this person apologizing to me, you know, helpless, but it was about, I don't know how to describe it, but I was able to do that, and you know, I think it's going to help when the, whatever it's called after release, the third step, when that process comes,
yeah.
it's going to help me, because it's not going to be about guilt.
No, it never was. It never was about guilt. It's about taking the responsibility back and feeling bad that we hadn't done it yet and forgiving ourselves.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was pretty amazing. You know, I'm still in that process and I feel quite raw right now. But what an amazing transformation to be able to let go of, yeah, but they could never apologize like that because of this and this and this and this and this, you know, even with my parents and the church and all this. And just letting go of all my inhibitions enough to imagine them being so full of love that they would give anything to change everything.
So beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And so, yeah, it's quite neat, but that was pretty amazing. I thought I'd share it because in case anybody else is like, well, that person's helpless. Why would I be angry at that person? Well, there's actually a lot of value in it.
There's tremendous value, and, you know, there's that anger is like the storm that washes away the pollution, and everything's, you know, after the rain comes, everything grows beautifully. You've got to get that out of your system. It's the anger isn't toxic. Anger is beautiful. It's storing the anger that's toxic. The definition of a negative emotion is an emotion that's suppressed. Suppressing love is extremely destructive. Suppressing anger is incredibly destructive. Suppressing hurt. You know, all those pain words that people use, they're describing hurt that they haven't expressed. That's what the pain in the body is. It's hurt that we haven't let ourselves feel. So good work. I really appreciate
it. Well, so it's amazing because, you know, even just doing the release process in a correct way is so transformative compared to anything. I mean, I've seen the best psychologists.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
so thank you very much for that, wherever it came from.
Yeah, well, it was 30 years in the coming, so in the making, so there it is.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we have another. We have one more. Janet.
Oh, good. I was hoping that you would call on me. I had just a wonderful experience, and I had gone through the release and all of the steps. I felt that worked well for me. Once I got to processing hurt, which was processing the anger and the sadness, all of a sudden I could see these as weeds growing in my body. And I saw these huge anger weeds in my heart, little ones around it, and others kind of spread out here and there. So I went about just pulling these weeds out, just getting them out. And it seemed to be like a cleansing feeling. I was just getting these things out, putting them in a bag like I was gardening, and traipsed them over to the violet flame and threw it in. And that was such a wonderful feeling. The interesting part is that when insight came, and I've had a little of this insight, I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I had made a decision a couple of years ago. Going forward, I was going to be very inflexible and rigid in my actions toward this particular person. And in this insight, I could see that I put this very inflexibility and rigidity onto myself by this decision, which the decision was really based out of anger. Still, I had anger sitting in there, and that's where that decision came from.
Wow.
When I got to remorse, I could see clearly that my body had stepped right up to support my decision of inflexibility and rigidity. It was so faithful in following my decision, and so it took it on. And at that point, I felt such deep remorse for hurting it. The tears just flowed. I just cried and cried.
Exactly.
And I felt so strongly that my body and I are one. It is me and I am it. And I felt so sorry for hurting it and putting it in this position. When I finally got to clear the tears, got to forgiveness, again, that was another real connect with the body, and there were more tears. When I went through the I'm sorry, please forgive me, that kind of thing. That was very interesting, and the more it built, I could feel my body saying, I forgive you, I love you. and that brought tears, because apparently we are so close. That just brought more tears. Then when I went on to I Love You, I Love You,
right.
That was, it was wonderful, and I could feel that I was gaining strength in loving myself.
Yeah.
I never did get to the point of bringing in the high self.
Well, it's just, but it's just a continuation of the same feeling. It just,
yeah,
just builds.
Yeah, and yeah, and it kind of made sense, because I came in to this life with a lot of talents, but I've really never given myself for the credit for the talents. Never, I kind of downplayed, you know, what I could do. And in this case, I seem to take responsibility and excitement in who I was. So it was just a wonderful experience. I just, and now I am on, I have rheumatoid. I'm very stiff and sore all over. But all my neck has become quite flexible. I had a pain up my neck this morning. Now my neck is quite flexible. That's the one thing I've noticed immediately.
Well,
you
know,
the rest, I still.
Okay, but it's a start, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
And you've made enormous progress.
I was so surprised about the tears that just flowed.
Yeah, because that was inside you. You were carrying that pain all those years.
Yeah.
Now mm-hmm. It's shifting.
Yep. And how closely my body and I are.
On.
It just stepped right up to support my decision. It took it on.
That's truly taking the responsibility, and you're no longer a victim.
I'm so glad to share that, because I feel so good about it.
I do too. Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks.
All right, who's next?
Okay, we have Nat. We have two more people.
Okay, and let me just suggest that, you know, it's time for people who are having difficulty to start getting on the call too, because I just wanted to inspire you at first about what it's like to get to the other side. So anybody who wants to chat about anything, we're going to take the two calls we have right now. But anybody else who wants to talk about, you know, that you're getting stuck in the process or a little help about this or that, we'll just take everybody from here on, and we'll just see if we can cover all the issues. All right, let's go to the next
one. Okay, Natalie.
Hi. I just wanted to share, I feel like I went through the process. I definitely still have more work to do.
Yeah.
But I'm getting emotional now. It's funny. It was an incredible way to go about addressing issues.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share because I think it might be valuable if people are getting stuck, because I had to go back and reassess my emotional cause. During the process, it was hard to find the insight. It was hard to match up the remorse. There was a lot that it was like I used the hologram of all of it, because I know I've grown with this issue as well. So different pieces fit for different stages. That's also why I think I need to do more work with it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a complete, you know, complete fitting puzzle. But you know, I just wanted to encourage people in case they were finding mismatches and coming across hindrances with the process, because it's so worth it just to stay with it and keep digging and get to that forgiveness part. I got to meet my inner child and felt her love and her total forgiveness, and I've never been able to access that before, so...
Wow.
Richard, thank you so much for your diligence over 30 years to figure this out and be able to share it with everyone, because it's extremely valuable. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You got someone else in line for us? Devin?
Okay, sorry, I wasn't sure if we were moving on.
Yeah, we're moving on. Yeah.
We're moving on. Okay, thank you, Natalie. And this is Rosie.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. It was very interesting because my reason, my issue was around money and finances and mm-hmm. why I always have just enough and never
right.
any more. And so as I went through the process with Eva yesterday, it was, you know, I traced it back to parents, and my parents came from a place in Europe that was very poor, and, you know, rich people are looked down on and they don't work hard and
right.
all these kinds of things. And as I went through the process, it came to, I went through all steps 1 through 6, and as I got to the self-love, it evolved into survivor guilt. And so for me, it was what I saw as my parents', you know, values. It became literally, you know, what they went through, and that I've been living my life with the guilt that they have, that they survived.
Yes.
And
yes.
that in and this goes to the point of being unable to live, because if you're, it's like being on a, it's like Castaway was on the other night, and it's like being on the raft and having survived,
mm-hmm.
but throwing away the oars and not going to shore because you're afraid of having to go on and live. So the financial flow, I've always felt that the, you know, I've been in this point where the flow is there, but I can't reach, I can't get into it because I'm, to survive was the goal. And so for me now, I need to go back through this again because I've been living other people's, you know, I passed on issue, you know.
Yeah,
so for me, it's like, I don't have to live and survive. I can live my life. Everybody died. Okay, everybody died, but it's time to live. And that's the part where the forgiveness of, oh, my God, you know, I haven't been living my life because other people died, you know.
Exactly.
So it's a pretty,
that
pretty amazing process.
That isn't going to take anybody anywhere.
Yeah.
It's going to mean no one can live because a lot of people have already died.
Right.
Congratulations on going there.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Anne.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I had sort of a mixed, I guess I would call it. I had trouble. I did get confused, and it seems like so much was stirred up that it
right.
was hard for me to focus and even get to, like, one thing because it seemed like it stirred so much up. And
which step did you get to?
Well, I got to all of them, but just a narrow bit. It made,
all right.
I was working on pain, and it made it worse, actually.
Okay, well, yeah, it means you've got your finger, you know, if you tune to the radio station, you're going to be able to affect the signal, and you're either going to make it better or worse, but the most important thing is you're on the station, right? If you're releasing it well, you'll get some really good results. If you're just stirring up the pot, it doesn't release, and you don't get the positive benefit yet, but you're on track because you know at least where the station is. Well, yeah, because you were able to actually, you know, trigger it.
There was some effect, so
there was
making it worse. I'm in the neighborhood.
You're in the neighborhood. So what it sounds like you should probably get very clear on. So do you feel like you know what the Do you have a good insight? Does that feel solid to you? I mean, the discovery. Have you made a solid discovery yet?
Yeah, but and it's. I guess I it's not gelled. I guess that's the way to put it because
let's.
I see threads.
Okay, but you've made a solid connection between symptoms and the emotion.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that part's good. Now we need to look at, how's the release coming? Are you getting stuck on release?
Yeah, getting a little stuck there.
Okay, go ahead.
It was hard for me to, you know, bring up and maintain.
Yes, okay.
I
get it. Here's the thing. If you're not doing the release well, trying to go to steps 3 through 7 just aren't going to work. Every step must be completed to a pretty good extent before you can go on to the next one, or a very good extent. So if you're trying to go to, you know, insight and remorse and all that kind of stuff before you finished release, wow, that's sabotage. Remember I talked about the danger of doing that?
You did. But and I did, like when I said narrow, I did feel some,
yeah,
some of each of those. I'm like, oh, I
yeah,
can
you
feel,
can you can
know,
get a little bit.
That.
But what happens to some
yeah.
people is they get to the place where they want to go to the other side so much. Not that, that people in this class would do that, but they tend to beat themselves up when they have the
yeah,
insight.
Yeah, I
do.
Yeah,
you didn't,
I did
you didn't happen to go
so
there.
Much.
Yeah, right.
It was just, how could I, you know what, I think a way to describe it now that I'm looking at it, it was more in my head than feeling it in my body.
There you go. So what I would suggest is go back, really work on the release and feel it through your body. Feel it, gut-wrenching, emotional intensity, feel it fully. And when you feel like you're exhausted from having felt it so intensely, then go back to the insight and the remorse and then the forgiveness. And you'll find that you have a lot of momentum then. But if you just try to do it and push your way through it without having gone through the release, it just doesn't work very well.
Do you find or have you found that some people or some things need a witness at all for
some people? Some people will work better with somebody there with them to assist them. Yeah, it's true. And other people work better alone. It's just whatever works for you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have Roger.
Yes, thank you. My challenge is really with feeling the hurt or the pain or, mm-hmm. or anger, any of those things. My problem is prostate cancer, which was first diagnosed 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And when I went and spent about an hour working on discovery again last evening, and then when I got to release, and it talks about, you talk about bringing up the feeling and reliving it intensely.
Yeah.
That's where I get stuck. That's just
okay.
difficult for me to do.
Okay.
I'm just thinking of an example. 3 or 4 years ago, I had I was having a series of urinary blockages, and early Sunday morning, I just waited too long to get into the hospital to get relief. And when I got there, it literally took almost 4 hours and at least a half a dozen people working on me to get a catheter. And that was the most intense pain I suspect that I'll probably ever experience. And my guess is I was probably pretty angry at something at that point in time, but I can't go back and at this point in time recreate in really any way the feeling, the pain, the anger, any of that. And my question is, how do I get past not being able to feel?
All right. So let's break it down a few steps first. First, the experience in the hospital was not the origination.
There
were issues emotionally that preceded that. That
Correct.
Was why it happened, okay? Okay, so we're
Correct.
Clear on that part. Second thing is, when we've gotten so shut down emotionally over decades, then it's really hard to bring the emotions back. And they say the most intense pain anybody ever experiences is when they have frostbite. Because it's not the freezing that hurts, it's the unfreezing that hurts. It's bringing the limb back to life that hurts so much, not the freezing of it. Actually, the freezing, they say, you kind of feel warm, and it's not bad. It's just the unfreezing of it that hurts. And that's sort of how it is to bring back the buried emotions a lot of times. And you have to be willing to hang in there. And that some of the people can go all the way through to the other side immediately is inspiration. That many of us will find it really challenging. And let me tell you some ideas about bringing back the feeling. Go into the emotional causative issues and the people and the events that really brought it up for you, and see if you can bring any of that emotional sensation into your physical body, primarily the torso. Hurt is often felt primarily in the throat, upper lungs. The anger is often in the belly, and so forth. So you want to feel the sensation as a physical sensation in your body to the greatest extent that you can. And then from there, just really see if you can continue to allow that emotion to unfold, to come up like a flower opening. But the other thing that really will help you bring up the emotion is a common experience that people have, and I'll try to tell it sort of like a story, and this may help you. It's something to do with getting the exact words. Maybe you've had this happen to you, or you've seen this happen, where somebody says, I'm really upset because this and this and this happened, and it hurts so much. And then somebody else says, yeah, and I bet you all, and it seems like you also felt, you know, hurt or humiliated or whatever the word is they say. And then the person suddenly goes, yeah, that's it. And when they have that insight, they're like, yeah, that's what I was feeling. That's what happens. Sometimes when you get very specific around the issue, yes, he lied to me, she lied to me, they hurt me, they betrayed me, whatever it was, when you get very, very specific around the thing, then you may have this wave of emotion come through you that's very strong. And so I encourage you to really examine the story of what happened originally that hurt so much, and really look for all the emotions associated with that story and bring them into the physical body. And even if you have to meditate to kind of just see how much sensation can you feel in your body with that emotion, just really nurture it. And if there's somebody you feel very safe with, you know, let yourself be comforted while you're feeling those emotions. And maybe that can help you get more deeply into it. But it's an act of courage, and it's to be willing to unthaw the frostbite.
I will continue to work on that.
Yeah, and let us know how it works out. And we'll be talking a week from now, too, and hopefully you will hear some wonderful things at that point, too.
Thank you.
Bet.
Okay, O'Brien or Donna?
It's Donna. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, my issue is a variation of Orion's. I have great weakness in my legs, and they don't support me. And so it's a support issue.
Right.
It took me until last night to really discover, you know, all these issues and emotions that are connected, and to be able to put them down. And I didn't get beyond the discovery, but when I got up and I allowed myself to feel those feelings more than I have, I'm carrying 81 years of baggage.
Yeah.
But when I got up this morning, I was walking a little better, and the balance was a little better, and like I know that I'm on the right track.
Well, that's a great start, and just keep working with the process. And as I said earlier, one of the things I love about this is that you have a clear map now, and you know exactly what step you're on, and you can always move to the next step.
That's right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Devin?
Okay, that's it for people with their hands up, unless
okay,
we have anybody.
So, yeah, so this is your time to explore and to ask your questions and to really work on this stuff, because it's your time to really play with this and wrestle with it, as I like to call it, and see what comes up for you. So if anybody,
okay.
Oh, we got somebody else here.
Yeah, we got one hand up. Kemi?
Actually, it's Bill. Hi, my wife and I are sharing a line. Can
okay.
you hear me?
Yes, I do.
My initial issue that I was working on happened a couple of years ago when I got cancer. And when I started this, the release process, instead of going back a couple of years ago, it's like spontaneously I jumped back to my childhood. And, you know, my father used to beat me all the time. You know, bend over, grab your ankles.
Right.
And suddenly I'm there again. And it's extremely real.
Yeah.
And I got unbelievably angry.
Sure.
You know, because I just thought, how dare you do this to a little kid?
Exactly.
And I'm this little kid, and I start punching him with my fists. And I'm amazed at how much power I had as this little kid. And it was just like you said, there, all of a sudden it was like this blinding light. And I just heard him. I couldn't see him because of the light, but I heard him say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." But then it was like I was the one saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry," because then the insight and the remorse happened at exactly the same time, because I thought, oh my God, all this time, all these years, I've been beating me.
Yes, exactly, exactly. You took on the abuse.
Yeah. So I didn't, you know, and then it was just, you know, I'm sorry, and it's like I don't even know who was saying I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. So at that point, yeah.
I didn't really finish, you know, the forgiveness or get
okay.
myself.
Yeah.
But it was like there was like this deeper thing or something, like the higher self was saying, no, this is where you need to go. Instead of like just 2 years ago, it has to go all the way back.
So how are you feeling today?
You know, I still feel a little raw.
Yeah.
I just had chemo, and so I'm feeling nauseous and everything, and
yeah.
weak. But you know, I have this understanding now that all, you know, the cancer, everything is just, it was just one tip of the iceberg. You know, it's like from a whole long list of things.
Sure.
And then I feel hopeful that I can go back and I can do this. And, you know, really finish it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, go for it. You know, keep going. And I'm so excited to you know, hear what you discover a week from now, too, and how you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. That's powerful stuff. Seven.
Yes.
Yes.
We don't have any more hands up right now. Does anybody else have any questions? Or this is your chance to talk with Richard. He's very insightful, so.
You know, some of you, I know who you are. I'm not going to call you by name, but some of you got all the way through to the other side, and it would be really inspiring to hear that. And for those of you who feel stuck or you don't know how to move forward, or would you like more clarification on any of these issues, this is your time. To really work with it, and or I can just talk about some other stuff too. So if anybody wants to put their hand up, this is a good time to do that.
Okay, we have a couple people. Elizabeth?
Yes, sorry, you're getting the echo, but I got stuck with the process, and
right.
I don't know how to carry on.
Okay, where did you get stuck?
Well, I found the symptom and the emotion and the judgment and the imaginary.
Okay, so let's break it down. You made the discovery.
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't
okay.
know. The problem was pain in my left part of the sacral bone.
Okay.
I started 3 months ago. It's a piercing pain that wakes me up in the morning. It scares me. It stops me from walking too much. It shouldn't be there. It's like a knife twisting me in a certain spot, but I can't get any further than that.
Okay, so you haven't made the discovery yet.
No.
Oh, what the emotional issue is.
No.
Okay. So maybe that's what we should do right now. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So let me bring up a new sheet of paper here. Okay, so God, I wish this echo wasn't here. What's going on with the echo? Devin, you have any insights on this?
I have no idea. Yeah, it's probably just the way
it's
she's
probably
connected.
Your phone. Are you on speaker?
No, I'm on Skype.
Good.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Right.
So let me make a small suggestion that if you have a mute button.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to turn her volume down and see if that helps.
Let me check mute.
Okay, so there's mute. Okay, I'm not hearing the echo now. So when you want to talk, unhit the mute button so that we can hear you, okay? I assume that's a yes. So unhit the mute button and just tell me, all the different symptoms and discoveries that you've made so far so I can just start typing a list, all right? You got to unhit the mute button so I can hear you.
Okay. Pain in my left part of the sacral bone.
Yeah, just read me all the words on your list.
Okay, which started 3 months ago. It's a piercing pain which wakes me up in the morning, only in the morning. It scares me. It stops me from walking too much. The judgment is that it shouldn't be there, and it's like a knife twisting me in a certain spot, and that's as far as I could get.
That's all you got?
Yes.
Okay. So what judgments do you have about it besides that it shouldn't be there?
I really can't think of anything else.
Okay. What dream image or cartoon image do you have about the pain?
It's just a needle that keeps popping up first thing in the morning.
It's a needle inside you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, can you come up with something more imaginative than a needle? More fanciful, more fantasy than a needle.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Okay. So what emotions do you have because you have the pain?
I'm trying first thing in the morning to use quantum touch on that part of the body.
No, that's not an emotion. That you're trying to use quantum touch is not an emotion. Emotions are hurt, anger, fear, pain, sadness, anger. These are the emotions, not quantum touch. Okay. So what emotions do you feel because it's there?
Well, pain and anger.
Your anger?
Yes.
What's the anger?
The anger is that it shouldn't be there because I have a healthy life and I have a good life and it shouldn't be there.
All right. Okay, let's take a look here. So what other emotions do you feel because it's there?
I feel that there is something there that I can't discover, and that's very frustrating.
Do you feel that there's something bad?
Yes.
What does bad mean?
Something that perhaps has happened and it has got buried somewhere, and I can't get hold of it to name it.
So you can't name it.
No.
So, all right. So let's look at things in the last, say, 4 to 6 months or a year or something, just kind of a broad time frame. Was there some emotional issue that was going on in your life more, 3 months ago or more? Could be 6 months or a year, or it's something going on for a long time where you feel. Now, okay, I'm sorry. I got another question or two, and then I'll go try to hit it. Can you describe the pain?
The pain is a piercing pain that only comes first thing in the morning.
Can you say any other word beside piercing?
Piercing. It's like a nail. It's like a screwdriver being driven in there, and it doesn't stop.
Okay. So here's the question for you. Has there been anybody who's really hurt you a lot, like taking a screwdriver and driving it inside you, piercing, like a knife twisting on a spot, that's kind of affected your mobility on some way? Has there been anybody that hurt you a lot?
Yes, there was, but that was 3 years ago.
That's okay. That's okay. So let's just see if it fits, all right?
Yes.
So without going into any detail, you know, what's the title of the story of what happened 3 years ago?
I split up with my partner, and although I had put a lot of work and money in a project, I left with nothing.
Okay, so that anger has probably been inside you for a long time now, right?
Yes.
So it made you angry. And was it a piercing kind of anger? I mean, was it a piercing? Let's talk about the pain you felt from that experience. Was it like somebody had a screwdriver and was driving it into you, the kind of pain, or a knife, twisting a knife? Did you feel that kind of pain and anger from that experience?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And so when you say you're not walking much because of this, that affects your mobility, right? So
not really, but if I do walk a lot, then I can feel it. I can feel that I shouldn't be doing this.
Okay. Well, let me just read the words.
Yeah.
Pain could match that situation. Piercing, it scares you. Does that fit?
Yes.
Okay. It shouldn't be there, you know, of course. The knife twisting in on a spot. We agreed on that one already. The anger, right?
Yeah.
Like somebody taking a screwdriver and it's being driven into you.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take an assumption that it was that betrayal, wasn't it? Of the business partner. Let's try that one on for size as being the issue that you're going to release, okay?
Okay.
And then do the processing on that one, and then let's see how that works out, okay?
Okay, betrayal fits very well.
Good, yeah, because here's this intense pain, and it's causing you all this, you know, suffering. And here's somebody who really hurt you that deeply. And so let me ask you a question. What do you do? What have you been doing about that whole situation? Do you let yourself feel that anger very often, or you just kind of put it outside your mind?
I put it outside my mind, but it only comes first thing in the morning, then it disappears every morning.
Yes. Okay. Well, you've got something to work on now, so let me know how that works out.
Thank you.
Okay, very good.
Okay, let's go to Anne again.
Yes, I just wanted to have you go over help with the confusion on how to focus that. Or
well, you can't focus on confusion. You have to focus on clarity.
All right, there.
So so what is the issue you're wanting to have clarity about?
Well, it was, I have the issue of around the pain that I had in my knee, and it was, I can't even find the situation, you mean, that I was.
Yeah, well, you
talk with clarity.
Yeah, we need to bring up some clarity here to have clarity, right? So,
right.
So what is the issue you're wanting to process?
It was an issue around, I guess you would say, caregiving, but there were threads tied into it of abandonment and being alone, and
It sounds like you're taking a lot of issues simultaneously. Is there is there one big story that you're telling, or is it multiple stories?
Well, it seemed to be tied to one big story of not being able to receive love.
No, I mean, was there one event? Was there one event you're working with, or are these multiple events?
I think it was multiple events with the same kind of theme.
Yes, I appreciate that. So here's what I suggest. Let's just get a little clarity on it. Find the top three events with that theme, right? And then pick one of them that's most representative of that issue.
Okay.
And then process the Dickens out of that one. And if you feel inclined, then do a second one. But see if you can take it all the way through the seven steps. Just take one issue that's most representative of that theme and process it all the way through. Don't try to do them all at once. You're just going to overwhelm yourself, and then it goes to confusion.
Okay. All right. It's hard to keep the focus.
Well, just have to pick one and work with it.
But it's the ego trying to make yourself not feel. Right?
Well, it's just an avoidance, that's all. I mean, you know, you've probably been avoiding it more than a little while. And my cat wants to play. She's talking to me. Hey, playtime. Okay, so go for it. And let's talk in a week, and we'll see how that goes.
Great, thanks.
You're very welcome. I just want to point out how, you know, from the last couple calls, that we can really focus in. We can find emotional cause pretty easily, and we can, you know, focus in on the issues and then get to work on them. And if we need help, we have each other.
Okay, let's hear from Jyoti.
Hi. Actually, I have problem with the release part.
Yeah.
I first could not take the step to do the release.
Right.
But now, after hearing all these people, I thought, okay, let's give it a shot. And I started. But the thing here is, it's difficult for me to go through the process because when you have people who hurt you intentionally, then, okay, you can say, I forgive you, and that's how you thought about it. But when
right.
you have people involved in the situation who think they are doing the right thing for you and who love you and they think that's the best thing for you, and, you know, it's not the intention to hurt you but protect you or to love you, but ultimately they end up hurting you. How do you release that hurt or anger associated with such kind of people in that
well,
situation?
The thing is, people who don't mean to hurt you but hurt you anyway, it's
yeah.
irrelevant. You're hurt. You need to experience the hurt. And if they don't mean to hurt you, then by releasing the anger, you may actually let yourself feel some guilt. Like, oh, I have no right to feel this emotion about somebody who you know, hurt me, but I don't have any right to be. You have to just put that aside and just feel the emotion fully. And then you can then you can work with it.
I mean, the thing is here, it's coming to the, like, I cannot put a shell around them and see that the shell is breaking up and they're saying, I'm sorry, or they're lovely.
Well, you know what? You can't do that until you start feeling the, I mean, you have to first release the anger before you do the shell thing. And if you don't let yourself feel the intensity of those emotions, you know, then you're not going to go there. So you have to put aside the fact that they didn't mean to hurt you.
Oh, okay.
And once you...
Even
though they didn't mean to, you know, you were still hurt anyway.
Yeah.
And once you can get to that place where you realize that I am angry, even though you didn't mean to, it doesn't matter, I'm angry anyway, and give yourself permission to do that. Start releasing it, then break the shell and let them move forward. But you've got to actually do the steps.
But it's very exhaustive, the release process.
Yes, and remember what we heard earlier today. It's 1,000 times more valuable when you get to the other side as it was painful doing the release.
Thank you, Richard.
You're very welcome. Yeah, I'm just so surprised that, you know, we really never got any healthy psychological information growing up about, you know, honestly expressing, releasing emotions and such. We just never got that helpful guidance on how to do that. Right, let's move forward. Yeah.
Let's hear from Carol.
Yeah, thank you. I'm afraid I have three questions,
sure.
But I try to make it quick. Can we generally say that self-created health is for chronic pain, generally spoken?
Well, generally, I mean, it can be any kind of thing. But
okay. If
something is, you know, if you stub your toe really badly, you know, you could probably figure out, yes, I've been really angry at this thing that happened 3 days ago.
Yeah.
If you're getting a cold, you can probably say, yep, right around 3-4 days ago, I've been really upset about this thing, and I didn't process it, and now this is a perfect expression of what it was that was going on. So that's acute. You know, these things that just happen, they're not that hard to figure out. And you can start doing it for more and more things in your life, and not just, you know, health issues.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. That already leads to my second question. Because
once,
you know, if you don't really suffer from pain,
believe
it or not, but you just rather have the feeling, okay, something, you know, you're like in a change mode, so you really want to change your life, especially job-wise, and you feel like being, you know, under a glass ceiling or something, I could also use that process for it?
Yes. Anything that's upsetting.
So if you
ever find anything upsetting in your life, not that you likely would, but if anything ever upsets you, you can always, you know, just go right to this.
Okay, it doesn't have to be somewhere, you know, a pain in my body somewhere. Just
no, it doesn't.
You
can use any kind of pain for anything and go there.
Yeah. Okay. And the third question, you know, if I would like to do it with someone else, you know, to accompany that person. I think you said that yesterday, we can do that in different steps as well. I mean, like, you know, the nurturing part, I would really prefer that the person does it on his own, you know, his or her style. So we can set up a day like, okay, we will start with part one and part two, and
next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, you know, it could be done that way. I just haven't, you know, I'm more the guy who figured the thing out and sharing it. I'm not so much the therapist. And figuring out all the different therapeutic ways of creating the space and doing it properly. But I've just kind of figured out how we can do it and passing it forward.
Okay, there's not a specific time frame. It's not that you say, okay, you know, at least two days later.
No,
pardon
people, some people, like you heard on the call, will get all the way through to the other side. The symptoms are shifted. Everything is beautiful. They're feeling 1,000 times better and it's miracle time. Other people are going to take weeks to go through a single process, and that's just their time frame. And I don't think
it's really
appropriate.
Just you feel it. Huh? It's really the person feels it.
Yeah, you got to be willing to go through the steps and just go through the process to get to the other side. And it's however,
and you just know when.
But so one person who doesn't let himself feel his emotions is going to have a very different time frame than someone who has a tremendous fluidity and freedom to feel emotion.
Mm.
Right?
Okay, so we are quite free in regards to that.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
You, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's hear from Allison.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So do you have any other suggestions for people who can't get to, like, a specific incident that may have caused some of those emotions?
Well, here's the deal. The discovery process is actually really easy, but people seem to make it hard sometimes. And there usually is an incident. I mean, I say 99%+ of the time we can find something, like we did a few minutes ago, where it wasn't clear, but we found out that the business partner had betrayed her, right?
Right.
And so if you dig, we'll usually find something. And it may not be an incident. It might just be how life has always been. In other words,
yeah.
You know, my parents were always doing X, Y, or Z, or it's always been this way.
Okay.
And so it may just be that, you know, I was always made to feel guilty about having fun. There's no incident. It's just, that's just life.
Okay, good. Thank you. That makes more sense now.
Good, good. Because sometimes it isn't just an event. It just could be, I don't like the way you always make me feel type of stuff.
Yes, never, always remembering feeling this way, whatever. Okay.
Exactly. That's something
okay.
You can process.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sure.
Okay, and O'Brien?
Yes, it is O'Brien this time.
O'Brien,
and,
sorry.
That's okay. No, two things. One, Richard, I really liked one thing you said, and I was trying to write it down, and I sort of missed the last part.
Okay.
The body has the ability to be sick, not as a dysfunction, but as a way to communicate.
As a communication from our own higher consciousness.
Communication.
Yeah, and it's sort of like saying, all right, we really want you to get through this anger and discover the love on the other side. And you're not listening. So what are we going to do? We're going to put that anger in your body in such a way that you can experience it endlessly, and it's going to get louder and louder and louder until at some point you're ready to make the decision and go ahead and feel it through, and then you don't have to carry these symptoms anymore. So it's a communication of how we stop loving, that our love is really what it's all about. And when we stop loving, then we feel broken. And the body, you know, goes through that expression.
Yeah. I just also was listening to Jyoti and wanted to offer encouragement to her, because that's exactly what I was experiencing, is that all these people in my life, I think in a lot of ways, felt that they were doing the best thing for me. And not only that, but, you know, there were people, well, that were just as vulnerable as me, but I was able to imagine those people who were doing what they felt was the best thing for me, seeing the impact of what they did on me, and sort of completely able to acknowledge that and be willing to change anything.
Yes.
To, you know, change everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, very good.
Anyways, thank you very much for the clarification.
Thank you. Sure.
Okay, I think that's all the hands.
Okay, well, this is excellent, because what you see is how the process works. You see how people get stuck, and you see how people move through it. And you see...
Two more hands went up. Sorry.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, it's good. Okay. You know, it's just all how we're doing it.
Okay, let's hear from Lizzie.
This is a little bit off what we're doing. Yesterday you mentioned using this on your cat.
Yes.
I have also got a cat who was abandoned, and my son and his friend found this cat as a kitten on the street and brought it home. And the cat, since I've learned quantum touch, the cat has stopped waking me up in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. However, when my friends come over for quantum touch, she's kind of like a quantum touch piglet. Can I use this process on her?
I don't know. I think it's worth experimenting. What I did with my cat was I just went back in time to when she was separated from mom, gave her back to mom, gave her a new past. Because remember, we're giving ourselves a new past in
right.
this process. So I just gave her a new past, and to reinforce that new past, I just ran a whole lot of energy with, you know, QT2.
Okay.
I just ran a lot of energy into the new past.
Do, but I can probably do it with
Well, you can use distant healing with basic quantum touch to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, and I don't really have to use distant healing because she's always wanting it.
No, but I'm saying just to create, to run energy into that.
Oh, okay, into the past.
Into the past, yeah, into that,
right,
into that new image of her being happy.
Okay.
And for those of you who haven't taken Quantum Touch, this is just a moment of inspiration to consider looking into it.
Okay, wonderful.
Great.
Well, thank you.
You bet.
Okay, let's hear from Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
I have a question on using the process in the present moment.
Okay, you're going to have to speak up a little bit. You're really quiet.
Okay, so using the process in the present moment.
Okay.
Something's happening, and you don't want to store that emotion in your body right now, but you can't react. You maybe you're not able to express the emotion in that situation.
Of course.
But you don't want to jump right to the insight. So how do you handle that?
So when something's happening in the present moment, realize it's very vulnerable to express those emotions. And it may not be appropriate to suddenly stand on your desk and yell at your boss and say, I hate what you're doing, okay? So what we do is we save it to a time that's appropriate, either to talk to the person directly appropriately or to process it emotionally when you're by yourself and you have a time to do it. And then go through the intensity of the emotion. Is there more to the question that you're asking?
No, that makes sense. So just process it yourself later as soon as you can.
Yeah, you know, as soon as you can, as soon as it's appropriate. But you don't want to, you know, create problems in your life by...
Yeah, and there's sometimes a danger of just jumping to the insight right away. Oh, I caused this because of...
Yeah, well, you know, it's okay to have the insight right away, but don't do anything but jot it down on paper. You know, if you just write the insight down on paper, that's fine. But don't use the insight as a way of changing your emotion. Well, I don't have to be angry at this person because I really know blah, 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 you know, that I created it myself. You know, that's just destructive.
Thanks, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, well, that's not going to work. That's just not going to be an effective way of working.
Okay, let's hear from Becky.
Hello,
you
Becky.
There, Becky?
Yeah, Becky. Hello.
Oh. Okay, never mind. Let's go to Natalie.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm concerned because I would love to do this with clients that are willing, and I'm a little concerned that I'm going to get mixed up with all the different emotions. So I'd like some clarification. It seems like you have a really good map of what the emotions are and motivations. I guess my understanding is we want them to feel what emotions are there,
right,
but eventually we need them to get to anger and hurt.
Well,
is that always going to be the bottom line, or?
Not always, but mostly
okay.
You'll find hurt and anger in everything. That's deeply upsetting. I mean, try to think of something that happened in your life that was deeply upsetting that didn't cause hurt or anger, or both.
Right.
It's pretty hard to imagine what that could be.
But if they don't come to that, is it, like, do we need to keep working till we get to that, or?
Yeah, you know, the people have to experience what the emotion is, and you can't get around that. And this process isn't for everybody. It's for people who really want to grow and are willing to do what it's necessary to get there. And not everybody's willing.
Yeah.
And so you do what you can do. But you can't make it happen if they're not willing. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But you can create a very nurturing environment where they'll be more willing.
Right. Okay, so you're saying that even if we started the process, they may not be able to get all the way to anger and hurt, or
that's an early stage, isn't it? Anger and hurt is the very first stage of the release.
Yes.
And so, if they can't get into the release, then they don't want it badly enough.
Right. Okay. I was just trying to,
make sure
I understand.
We're getting perspective.
What
that's good.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's go to John.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, John.
question is this. I looked at these things and I tried them, and it's like I can't focus on one specific problem. It's as if whatever I want to release is covered in Teflon. I can't seem to narrow it down. So do you take each thing that comes up, just go through it one by one?
All right. Here's what I'd recommend. First, let's assess how many themes you're dealing with.
Okay. Just keep going. I'm writing it down.
No, I was going to have a conversation with you.
Oh, okay.
So how many themes do you think you're actually dealing with here?
Wow. I don't know, maybe 5, maybe 10.
Okay, 5 or 10. Well, what I'd recommend is when you've got that much backlog of stuff, pick one and just do an intense release and discovery process, an insight process on that one theme, and then work from there. But you just can't eat, you know, the whole 10-course meal in one bite.
Yeah, that was my question. I had an elephant full of problems, and
yeah,
like, how
do
you eat the elephant one bite at a time?
That's the answer, is one bite
okay.
at a time. And so if
that's
you break it down,
to know.
If you break it down into one theme, and then what I had to do when I was working with a lot of my stuff, and I'm still working with some of my stuff for sure, is you say, all right, in this one theme, what were the top 3 incidents? That, you know, maybe I can find 15 incidents that were really big within this theme. Well, you know, highlight the top 3 and then maybe do a full process of release on those particular 3 incidents. So you go through the release 3 times, once for each of the major 3 incidents on that one theme, okay? Then you go all the way through to the other side, and then you feel the amazing relief and good feeling from it. And then after that, you're ready to move on to the next theme. So you got a few elephants ahead of you. That's all.
Thank you. I know it seemed like a stupidly simple question,
no,
but
it's
thought,
good.
I don't even know where to begin, so I'm going to ask it, you know.
Yeah, and,
at the
and
risk
what's
of
really
embarrassing
good,
myself, I'm going for it.
No,
thank
it's,
you
it's
very
no
much.
No embarrassment. And what's really good is that we get to check in a week from now and see the progress. And this is why I say this day is about wrestling with the material. Because I want everybody to be able to own this and successfully utilize it so that you, it's your process now, and you can use it, and you can, you know, and you know where you are in your process. So it's empowering in that regard. Okay?
Okay, thank you ever so much.
Oh, certainly.
It's a kickstart I needed. Thank you.
Good. You're very welcome.
Okay, let's hear from Terry.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, Terry.
I had an aha moment listening to you this morning.
Okay.
Because I didn't know where to begin yesterday, and I had called yesterday about anger directed towards myself, and you encouraged me to investigate that further.
Yeah.
Somebody called in earlier and talked about, you know, how they couldn't be angry with somebody who had done the best they could. And this is kind of multi-layered because I've picked up from a number of conversations this morning and reached a conclusion. And I realized that my anger wasn't directed towards any one person, and that I don't really have any anger towards the people in my past because they did the best they could. But what I've realized, what I'm angry about, is the lack of support. That's the theme. And you've talked a lot about themes, and that's
right.
The theme, and that's
so
the one.
So who gave you the lack of support?
Well, it was from my parents and
all
the
right.
school system.
And they were specific people, right?
They were specific people, yes. But they all had my good intentions at
and
heart.
Which doesn't matter, does it?
No, that's right.
Okay. Because, yes, we forgive them because they had good intention, but we're pissed because they hurt us.
Exactly. And I'm actually feeling really, really angry right now.
Good for you. That's great.
Yeah.
That's good. And it's a big distinction, and it's that guilt that prevents a lot of people from finding the emotion. It's because, well, how can I be angry at them? They did the best they could.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I could. What I found was that I could actually, there was a theme there. There was an underlying theme, and when you kept drilling on that idea of picking a theme, and that's when it really rang true that's an issue that has come up for me repeatedly in the last 6 months is lack of support.
Right. Right.
Mm. So thank you.
Thank you. Great.
Okay, Diane.
Yeah, so talking about themes, give me some examples of themes. I mean, are they the emotions? They're not really
emotions. Well, a theme could be no one appreciates me. A theme can be, you know, people are always getting in my way, or a theme could be I'm a victim and I'm the last to be chosen, or you know, whatever the emotional issue is that a lot of people have done the same thing. You know, it's like, you know, it could be any number of issues, but when you keep seeing the same pattern happening again and again, that's a theme.
So like if you see low self-esteem.
Yeah. So let's talk about self-esteem for a moment, because I meant to talk about that today and it came up. So self-esteem comes from four primary qualities. Let's define self-esteem first. Self-esteem is love that you earn from yourself. Self-love is what we're born with. Every baby loves themselves. It's automatic. You don't have to work at self-love. If you don't love yourself, it's because you're pissed and you're upset about things. You've been hurt. You've been wounded. You don't have to try to love yourself. It's an automatic thing. But when we've been really wounded, it gets shut down. Self-esteem is love that you actually earn for yourself, to yourself, by yourself. And it comes from four primary qualities: internal honesty, integrity, self-responsibility, and self-trust. Honesty, integrity, responsibility, and trust. It's in the notes. By having access to those qualities, we build self-esteem. And as soon as we're dishonest with ourselves, we lose our self-esteem. So when we say, everybody tried to help me, and I'm not really angry at them because they tried, but they all failed at supporting me in ways that I needed support, then we've lost our honesty. We're not taking any responsibility for the emotional release. We've lost the integrity, and we don't trust ourselves. So our self-esteem is diminished. And what's interesting about honesty, integrity, responsibility, and trust is that they're all interrelated with each other. That once you start losing one of them, you start losing all of them. So I remember a friend of mine was becoming very insecure at a period of time. But what was happening was she wasn't being honest about some big issues, and then therefore she lost her integrity, wasn't being responsible about it, and she wasn't trusting herself. So in place of having those internal qualities of self-esteem, she was feeling a lot of insecurity. And you can turn the whole situation around by being honest and then more honest and more honest than that. And most people don't know what honesty is. But honesty is about telling yourself the truth about what you're really feeling and where it's really coming from. And a lot of people think that, you know, thinking gets in the way of feeling, but actually thinking supports feeling. Because if you didn't do the thinking on the discovery step, you wouldn't know where to focus your mind on the feeling. And if you actually think clearly, you'll realize, yes, these people really hurt me a lot, or this person did. And I have to think about what it was that they did, so now I can free myself to have the full emotional expression. So you want to use all your abilities, the thinking, the feeling, the intuitive. You know, listen to your body, bring your body into it, access all your resources, and then it works much better. Did that help a little bit?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Very welcome. Okay, so what do we have now? We've got no hands up. So anybody have any questions or things you want to share about your experience or anything? Where this is your time. Oh, we've got another person up here.
Okay, Patricia.
Yeah, hello. I wanted to say something about finding the issues and how sometimes we don't find it. Because I had an experience with it when I was working on parodontosis.
Wait, I got interrupted for a second. Can you say the last sentence again?
My issue was parodontosis.
What's that?
Parodontosis.
I don't know what that is.
It's a dental issue.
Okay.
When the gums go back and especially the bones,
they
substance of bones, then
got it.
That's the parodontosis.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we were doing the process, and I had this picture, this comic picture of this an angry man stealing my substance, and at the same time, I saw the situation.
Yes.
Which remember the old situation, exactly the situation
wow.
what it was.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, but as we had other questions before, you know, they're not talking about the situation, and the line broke. So I did not come back to the situation. We went until question 9, and then I was there, tried to call back, it didn't work, and I thought, well, I don't know the situation, but indeed I knew it. And so it took me time. I was sitting on my balcony thinking about it, and then I realized I know the situation, but I thought the situation was so ridiculously that it could, because I have experienced so much more heavy situations, really heavy and cruel situations,
yeah.
that of all the situations, this situation should cause parodontosis. That was ridiculous. But as I had no other picture, I worked on this, and I realized that this situation was just the perfect model for all the other situations.
Yes, exactly. That's
so
the theme.
So it doesn't matter because which one you take, because it's the one mostly that comes first or that affects you the most, I don't know. But you can, it comes out that it's the one you take would most probably be the one that has the best or the sharpest form for all the other situations. So people don't need to worry about which situation to take.
Yeah, you just start where you are and you take it from there. Like I was saying.
Yeah.
Yesterday,
but sometimes we think, no, it cannot be. It's the self-picture that stays in the way, because I thought that I'm too strong a person, that this could have been the parodontosis. And when I listen to other people who say, yeah, well, they didn't hurt me on purpose, maybe the self-picture or the picture they have of aggression is people who cannot feel or put themselves into shoes of other people. So that keeps you from appreciate the aggression.
Precisely. And how beautiful it is that you have had this discovery, because you're right. You bring up one issue, even if it isn't exactly the right one, you'll realize the theme. And the theme will take you to the other incidents that happened. I'm sure the one that came up to you was especially irritating. But, you know, I was working with a woman, I mentioned this yesterday, who is going to be in this movie about having a broken heart. And as soon as we traced it back, she immediately realized, wow, that's my parents. You know, my parents did everything to me that this boyfriend did. But then she also realized this is exactly what her first boyfriend did. But it wasn't anywhere near as painful as the last boyfriend. But it was still the same theme. Because
same situation with me, boyfriend and parents.
Yeah, exactly. And so once you get that theme, once you got a handle on that theme and you start working on it, you just keep wrestling with that thing until you get to the other side. That's all.
That's, but what I wanted to say, what is important, sometimes our self-picture stands in the way, because my self-picture was, I'm too strong a woman to have this situation give me the parodontosis, and so the people with the problem to get to their anger, they are too compassionate a person to let themselves be into anger, because anger is destructive, is this, is that.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought maybe could be why they don't get to the anger, because there is a prejudgment, like I didn't first not get to the situation, because I got it, I had it in my mind, but I suppressed it because somehow it was too stupid, too ridiculous.
Exactly. And now you know not to let that kind of judgment get in your way.
Yeah.
Good for you. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear from Becky.
Can you speak to repetitive motion injuries like carpal tunnel and tennis elbow? Could those also be related to emotion?
Well, I think the whole reality is related to emotion. So, you know, we can trace anything back that you want to trace. And I'm not saying, you know, like, again, the system's 100%, but it's pretty close. And so, yes, any repetitive strain injury. But also, you know, this is not something I put in my list, but it's something that I pay attention to, but I don't use it primarily. But what are the words we use to describe the condition? What does the doctor call it? This is actually kind of an interesting question because it paints to metaphors. A repetitive strain, right? So being strained over and over again emotionally could be a hint about the condition. It's not, you know, the primary way we figure the things out, but it's a hint about what it is and where it came from. And, you know, so repetitive strain is an interesting choice of words, isn't it?
Yes.
So you've been strained emotionally many times.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so when you look at what the issue was that you discovered, that may be part of it, isn't it?
Right.
Okay, good. Yeah. And it's not because I'm psychic. It's just using pure logic on that level. Anything else?
Nothing.
Okay, thank you. Very good.
Okay, we have Anne.
This is just a question on the lighter side. I know that animals sometimes work with us, and your cat has been with us. I wonder if you could give us the name of your cat.
Her name is Devi, D-E-V-I.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, yeah. She was complaining yesterday. She wanted me to play with her while I was on the phone, but today she seems to be rather content doing other things. That's good. All right. So we're out of calls again. If anybody wants to check in, this is a good time. The lines are open. Let me take a look at my notes again, see if there's anything that occurs to me that I should be telling you about. I've kind of looked at them before, and I didn't see anything that jumped out, like there was some topic that I had left out. One thing that, okay, here's a good one to kind of chat about. Actually, a couple of things we can talk about. One is that one of the best ways I know of resolving conflict is to use empathy skills. And empathy skills are developed when you learn to listen to another person's emotions without any justification, and you just listen and care. And then you let them know that they heard you by repeating it back. You heard them by repeating it back. So a lot of times it helps to start with positive emotions and say, when you said such and such to me, I felt really loved, and you listen to them, what they had to say, and you say, okay, I'm hearing that when I said blah, blah to you, you felt really loved. They go, oh, yeah, that's what it was, and it felt good. And then also you practice with the more challenging ones. When you told me X, Y, and Z, and I found out that wasn't true, I felt really hurt, I felt really angry, and blah, blah. And they listen to you and repeat it back. And by practicing this in relationship with significant people in your life, you will develop an incredible sense of closeness to them. So that's a whole area that I just really like to make sure that people cover, because having those empathy skills can really assist us in building healthy relationships. So, okay, do we have anybody on now?
Yeah, we have Margaret.
Okay, Margaret.
Hi. You mentioned yesterday that I think after doing the process that it actually affected some of those significant people in your life so that they
changed
their behavior.
Yeah,
well,
I've seen that happen.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of in the situation where I am, you know, helping my mother who is in her, who's 88,
mm-hmm.
and she has dementia, and so she's still behaving in the hurtful ways.
Wow.
You know, every time when I see her, so am I needing to process this, like, on a daily basis, or how do I?
Here's the thing. There's no guarantee that somebody's going to change their behavior, especially if they're 88.
Right.
But you process it out and get it out of your system to the best degree possible.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's possible that she could change her behavior and the sweet side of her could come out.
Right.
You know, but there's no guarantees that that's going to happen, but it's certainly possible.
Okay. I just wanted to see because, you know, if I'm... That was one thought I have because a lot of what I'm dealing with has to deal with her, and I'm still having to interact with her, you know, on a regular basis. So it's very straining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, while you're at it, look to see how much those themes come out in other parts of your life.
Okay.
And see if there's other people or what part of that abusive energy you've been putting on yourself, too.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You bet. All right.
Okay, I don't see any hands raised, unless anybody else has something.
Okay. One other topic I'd like to cover briefly is, you know, the whole concept of sociopathy. And we talked about that yesterday a little bit. I'm just very concerned that when people become so abused that they just shut down their capacity for compassion and empathy to care about other people's feelings. And it really seems to be what's maybe the biggest problem on earth. Maybe it's the only problem on earth, is that we have, you know, all our institutions and governments and run by people who don't care, run by people who have shut down their emotions and are so broken. Because if we had compassion, we couldn't let children starve. Yet there's, like, you know, 15 million children starving to death every year in front of their parents. It's just such an unthinkable, horrendous thing that anybody would have that experience. But because people have become so shut down, that's happened. And I feel like this process is a really good one to help people get back into their love and their compassion again. This is sort of an antidote to sociopathy. But I don't think any sociopaths are going to be interested in taking the course. Because... it's sort of a long story, but it turns out that they're generally pretty happy with the way they are, and they're not inclined to have to be vulnerable like the rest of those people, because then they can't manipulate and control and get what they want. And why would anybody want to start feeling that much pain again and go through that much heartbreak that shut them down in the first place? So it's an interesting question about our future, because I feel if we can't figure out how to deal with the sociopaths, who are, you know, in charge of government and industry and everything else, you know, how are we going to get out of this mess? So anyway, it's just my thought. Have anybody online? We've got an open call. So if you've got any questions about the process or how you can take it forward or anything, this is your time. So I'm really offering this to you now. Devin, how are we doing?
Okay, let's see. We have Ava.
All right, Ava, hi.
I just have one question.
Sure.
What would you suggest we do between now and next Saturday?
Process the emotions. See if you can use the process and go all the way through to the other side on any issue or as many issues as you can. Just keep working with it.
Keep doing the same thing over and over.
Well, not over and over. What I mean is, if you have something to release, feel like you've completely released it. Feel relieved. Like when you're expressing anger, you want to feel like you're spending the emotion, like you're spending money. you don't spend money by putting the money on the counter and then put it back in your pocket again. You put it on the counter and it's gone. That's how you want to feel, like you're spending the emotion. You're spending the emotion that it's, you get it out of your system. And you want to feel it as physically as you can in your body when you're feeling the anger, when you're feeling the hurt. You want to feel it. You want to sweat. You want to go, you want to be in as much intensity as you can when you're expressing and releasing those emotions. Then go for the insight. Okay, look how I've been, you know, yes.
So it's all right if you've already processed it, you go back and do it again and again.
Well, I'm not saying do it again and again. If you've already processed it, then go into the insight, go into the remorse, go into the forgiveness, go to the other side of the issue. All I'm saying is between now and then, go to the other side of each issue that you have, one issue or many issues, whatever you can do. See how much you can do that, and then let's celebrate how different you are.
How do you know when you've done with it?
Well, when you feel gratitude and you feel joy around that issue, you're pretty much
not
done.
Not necessarily the symptom is gone.
Necessarily the symptom. Symptoms usually show up changing as you've changed the situation, but there's no guarantees on any of that. One fellow I mentioned before, he processed his allergies, and he was incredibly grateful because his allergies had all gone away. But because his processing was incomplete, because there were nuances to the issue that he hadn't really looked at, he had to keep coming back to it on a regular basis. But each time he did, with humility to see what was different each time he did it, he noticed his symptoms were slightly different every time he returned to the allergy. And by looking at what symptoms had returned, he was able to find new answers each time he went back and revisited it. And when he found those new answers, that allowed him to process again for the first time. And when the symptoms came back, they were, you know, each time they came back, they were only a fraction of what they were originally, so they weren't really that troubling. But he got to love himself more fully each time he did it. And so he started celebrating when his symptoms came back. So just do what you can do and see how much you can get to the other side on any issue. That's the main thing. And then we'll all celebrate together.
Yes. It'll be nice next week.
Sure.
Thanks, Richard.
You bet.
Okay, let's hear from Joanne.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello. Hi. I've been struggling with something that came from my childhood and something that was very hard for me to process and acknowledge. So the minute I go there, and I just can't seem to push through. Because
right.
It's just much too painful to even go there, because it's connected to my father and
right.
something that to my sister and so on, and so that is really very, very hurtful. So
right.
I can't seem to get through because it's too scary. Actually, I think I'm fearing to go there fully because I think I'm just going to fall apart. I don't know. I'm just too fearful to go there. I've got this post-nasal drip that I had all my life. It started before the age of 7 and has been with me all these years, and I know that it's associated with inner crying.
Yes.
But to get there is really, really a scary place to go.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is why it can be really helpful to have some support. You know, because when it's just too much to do, to have somebody you trust and love to be with you as you go through this stuff can be really helpful. And what I'd like to see is, you know, professional self-created health coaches at some point, because I know not everybody can do the process by themselves as effectively, and it can take, you know, like that's why people who are going to the gym, even though they know all the exercises, they'll hire a trainer who will say, okay, give me 10 more reps, you know, because it just helps to have that other person holding your hand, essentially, and saying, you can do this, hang in there, keep going. And so What we have is, you know, a lot of people on this call. And if some people, you know, if you want to work with somebody else, I could ask for volunteers, people who would love to help you. If that's of interest to you.
Thank you.
Would you like that?
Yeah.
Okay,
so that'll be wonderful.
Hit number two if you'd like to work with Joanne. And we'll get some people who would, let's get some people up here who just hit two on the keyboard. And, oh, yeah, we got a bunch of them right now. Okay.
Wow.
I'm
writing it down so I can exchange email addresses if you would like.
Exactly.
Like to do it that way.
And so we got about, I don't know, eight.
Sorry,
seven,
can
six
I
people.
Yeah.
We got about six people who have raised their hand to help
sure.
you. So.
That's wonderful. You know, Richard, it's also connected to a past life issue that keeps coming up. So
mm-hmm.
I remembered going to a past life where I was, as a girl of 16, I was actually sexually abused by a whole garrison of German soldiers.
Wow.
And first, when that issue came up, I had extreme anger and hatred that I had to express. And I screamed and I expressed it. And then after that, I had a very, very painful right knee. And then I discovered that the knee was the feeling of helplessness, utter helplessness, being kept captive and being sexually abused over and over and over by this whole garrison of soldiers.
Wow.
And it was really, and then still on top of the crown that, then I recreated the same theme in my life again in this lifetime, but not with me, but with my dad and my elder sister that was actually not my father's daughter. And so, yeah, discovering that and really loving him so much and feeling so hurt and betrayed and angry that I couldn't believe when she was telling me, but I knew that from small, that I blocked it because it was too painful.
Right, right.
But, you know, and the whole family is rejecting her and not wanting to believe her, but I know that it's true because I was in the same room with her at night, and my father used to fiddle with her, but he didn't have intercourse with her, but he fiddled with her.
Mm.
And so he stopped when she turned 14, but still, you know, I was one of 10 children, so we were lots in one room. And so I used to come into the room at night and fiddle with her or breathe heavily, and I woke up with this heavy breathing, and it was such a shock to me, and not knowing, having that fear, not knowing what's going on, because I was a child, but obviously some part of me knew, but still, you know, I haven't cried all those tears. I haven't. That's why I'm still experiencing this intense nasal drip. And now and then becomes infected. And then I get the very sore throat and the cold starting up. But, you know, and it comes and goes and comes and goes. And it doesn't really affect anyone else. And it doesn't really threaten my health majorly. It's just a symptom that I've learned to live with. But still, you know, I wish I could just get it out of my system for once and all and just be rid of it.
Well,
know?
You know, sometimes the release of the anger comes as a silent scream. It's beyond words. The rage is beyond anything you can comprehend. And the expression of that rage might be a 10 or 15 minute silent scream where your body is just feeling the absolute intensity. And like, you don't have to do it out loud, destroy your vocal cords and scare the neighbors, but to feel just the outlandish rage and the hurt around the betrayals and the abuse can be so profound. And so, you know, it takes a lot of courage to open that wound and to really go in there and heal it. But the rewards are as big as the pain. What's that?
I'm actually feeling it now, but it feels like I want to put my head between my legs and you know, crouch
and
go
do that.
Into a little fetal button and just die, silently die.
Yes, that's the position you should be in when you're doing the processing. That's the posture you should take when you're doing the processing. You want to let your body completely express it. You don't want to hold it back. That's it exactly.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah.
Okay, anybody else? Don't see any hands raised.
Okay. You know, this is
okay.
Real.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Is there something there? Somebody there?
We do have one. Yes, Shirley, go ahead.
Yes, someone was expressing tears and that sort of relief. Could we witness other expressions of relief, such as nausea and things like that? Could we expect that with anybody?
I don't know if it's ever expected. I mean, some things can happen. But if there was nausea, I would expect that there's some emotion so strong it's making them nauseous, right? And you would want them to get into that particular emotion. My guess would be people wouldn't really have to throw up because the emotion that was coming up would be so intense that they could just start expressing it. But if they did throw up, so, you know, so much the better in the sense that they're really getting close to the core issue. So, yeah, anything.
So,
I would just see it as something they need to go through in terms of the emotion, not the vomiting, but the emotion is what's really there. And if they're having so much resistance that they're feeling nausea, well, we know we're getting really close now. You know, you're getting very mm-hmm. close to the, you're right on the core issue, and they need to start feeling it and not letting it be something they emotionally feel sick to their stomach about, but something they're actually experiencing. And when you realize how quickly we can see a reversal of symptoms by going through the emotions, like the people who've had the pain relief or the intense gratitude on the other side, you realize it's not the emotions that cause us the problem, it's the resistance to the emotions that cause us the problems.
Okay. Also, Devin, could you send my email address to Marja? Because the address you sent me for her just bounces.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I'll take care of that.
So, all right, so let's get that fixed for everybody who is wanting to help out there.
Okay, we have Stephanie.
Stephanie?
Yes. Two things. One, I'm not there yet, but on step 5 with the forgiveness.
Yes.
I wonder if you would talk a little more about, in the notes it says you are sitting in front of you, and you, and the second you is a capital you. Is it a higher aspect of ourselves? Is it different aspects depending sometimes of a little child, sometimes another person? Could you talk a little more about that?
Well, okay, in the forgiveness process, you're forgiving yourself. You're not doing anybody else. It's just you. And I don't try to define it too clearly or too carefully. I want it to be a little bit nebulous so it can fit whatever you're working on. But when you realize that I hurt me, that yes, you abused me, you put me in a jail cell, but I've been keeping myself in that jail ever since. That you were abusive to me, but I've been abusing myself. That you abandoned me, but I've turned off my self-love so much that I ended up abandoning myself. When you have that kind of insight, and you let the remorse build very profoundly inside yourself, and you feel that remorse, and it's overwhelming, you get to the point of near unforgivability, or unforgivability. What it can feel that strong, like that guy in Japan I mentioned. So what happens is then you're sitting in front of the unforgivable self. That's who you're looking at. And you are the unforgivable self, or the nearly unforgivable self. That's who you're talking to. You're talking to the one who you can't even imagine how you can forgive them for a moment. You're in so much pain that you don't know how to forgive that. You screwed up your life. You've caused yourself so much pain by holding on to this thing for so long, and you've ended up hurting yourself directly in the ways that other people had hurt you. That's what we're forgiving. And so you say to yourself, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. And that one is saying it back to you. That's really you, you're talking to you. It's just a conversation with yourself that's animated or personified or made bigger than life. That's what we're doing here. We're just having a conversation with ourselves. But we just project ourselves out in front of us so that we can have that conversation more clearly. When you say, I think I'll go get the newspaper, or, you know, let's get the newspaper, however you talk to yourself, you're having a conversation with yourself. Well, maybe I should go to the office now, or whatever it is, words you use to talk to yourself, that's a conversation with yourself. Who's talking to who? You're talking to you. And it's kind of strange how we create this split within ourselves. But I'm just animating or making it visible, the split, by looking at the part of you that you're talking to, and it's you. And then you go through the words, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and you go back and forth until you take a chance and say, I forgive you, I love you, and they're still saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and continue the process like we talked about yesterday. That is how it's done. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome, yeah.
And also, I would love to ask for help if anybody... you know, would be willing to work with me, and I'd be happy to work with them in return also.
Okay, great. And so let's get some volunteers who would like to help out as well. So just hit number 2 on your keypad if you'd like to help out. We're getting, who's already, we've got, what, 4 of them already, so that's good. So Devin,
yeah, okay.
Know. And, we'll do that.
Okay. Got it.
Thank you.
Sure. Let's hear from Rosie.
Hi. This is, I guess this is kind of going off of what Richard was just talking about. This morning I went through steps 1 through 6. I got to the self-love in lowercase, and I didn't get to step 7, which was the self-love in caps, you know?
Yeah, right.
And because I realized it was more of a family thing, you know? So as I've been, of course, there's judgment involved with that this morning. It's like, well, why couldn't I get to 7, you know? So as I've been on the phone and listening to this and just kind of being with this, and I've just gotten an image that I think might be helpful, and I'm just laughing because I feel like I've had this malware program running all day, or this antivirus program running in the background, because as I'm sitting here, all of a sudden I just feel I'm hot. I've got this rush of like, it's like I just hit number 7 and I didn't have to do anything, you know. I didn't have to think about it. It's like my brain, everything has been working on it all day long.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen at that moment in the right sequence, it's happening even if we're not thinking about it.
It can do that for sure.
Yeah, and I feel like I've finished the 7th step just now, as it took me. So I'm a little slow.
Hey, well,
maybe a couple of hours.
Actually, you're really fast, because most people have a hard time getting there.
Well,
so,
I
you
feel
know,
like,
you know, I mean, I will be very impressed when this work catches on and becomes popular, because that means that millions of people would be doing this kind of process work. I'd be very impressed to see that happen. I'll be very grateful, you know, if and when it does, you know, really catch on, because it's certainly something that could change the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. And thank you so much, because I just feel like I've, you know, gone past that point of holding back, you know, holding it back.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you very much.
You're most welcome, sure. Well, I really like that we have this time available to, you know, that people can work with their issues and really explore, you know, how it's working and how they got stuck, because that's what this workshop is all about, is moving through the steps and getting to the next place. Okay, so who's next?
Emmy?
Hi. Well, I guess I get to be the one to bring up martyrhood.
All right.
You talked about it yesterday.
Briefly.
And the thing that I'm still in discovery mode. I admit it.
Sure.
I thought I had the situation that I really wanted to work on, and I know that that's certainly one of them, but I think the thing with martyr is really kind of flummoxing me, because that was something that I saw a lot in my folks. And of course then I see it in myself, and I'm realizing now one of the key thing for me is when I see what irritates me in other people, it's obviously something I need to work on in myself, and it's a real clue that that's probably an emotion that's pretty raw, because it wouldn't be bothering me if I, you know, wasn't noticing it. And the thing with martyrhood, if somebody is in that state, I know for me there's a lot of anger underneath it.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. There's a huge amount of anger.
Yeah.
And because you feel like you're kind of beating up on this, you know, I feel it's hard for me to get to the point of letting out that anger on somebody that was kind of helpless, you know?
Yes, and because you have no right to be angry at them, because they were trying.
Exactly.
So this is what has been discussed a few times today, which is when you're really angry at somebody who was doing their best or was helpless.
Yeah.
And so you have to put aside the fact that, yes, I know you were doing your best and you really loved me in the way you could, but I'm still pissed and I need to be angry and I need to get that out of my system, because that's where I am. And so that's, you got to give yourself permission to be honest with yourself. Now, I have a list in the notes about martyrhood so we can be clear about that. You know, and it's seven qualities: misunderstood, unappreciated, unfairly treated, overburdened, innocent of wrongdoing, hopeless, helpless. These are key words that, there are seven of them, that let you know when you start drifting over into the side of martyrhood. Martyrs end up punishing other people in their life by making other people feel like their love isn't good enough.
They make
you feel like no matter how much you love them, you could never make them happy. And the message, the subtle subtext is your love wasn't good enough. Your love didn't matter. No matter how much you love them, the message is your love wasn't valuable. Interesting that Quantum Touch has the taglines of your love truly matters. Your love is valuable. Your love has impact, which happened to be the opposite of martyrhood, because the message the martyrs are giving you is your love isn't good enough, your love doesn't matter, your love has no impact. So pay attention when you find yourself in the hopeless, helpless, misunderstood, unappreciated, overburdened, unfairly treated, etc. Angry at God is another one that isn't on the list, it should be. But
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole list is there as a reminder that we can't let ourselves go there. And if you find yourself there, you're really pissed. It really hurt. You need to release that anger so that you don't have to subconsciously punish the other people in your life.
Oh, yeah. That's so on the money. That's unbelievable. That's so good.
Good.
Thank you for that list. Oh, my gosh, did I need that?
Okay, great.
That's really helpful. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome, yeah.
Okay, do we have anybody else?
Let's see.
Don't see any hands.
See one hand.
Oh, there we go. Margaret.
Did you just repeat the list again? I didn't quite get
it. Yeah, it's actually in your notes that comes through the course.
Okay.
And it's in the long version of the notes.
Okay.
It's toward the bottom. And it's about the negative ego. And the negative ego likes to feel self-important. It wants to feel better than or less than. So that's just how negative ego operates. Positive ego is just looking to have fun and just to be a straightforward communicator about what's happening. It's the negative ego that wants to feel the self-pity or the self-importance. And sometimes you'll feel both simultaneously. Poor me, I'm so important and no one appreciates it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's so funny because it's not that complicated. So, you know, self-pity and self-importance are pretty obvious when you look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we get tangled in them all the time. And the overt self-pity is pretty easy to spot. You know, oh, I was 7 months in the hospital and, you know, can you take care of me? Okay, that's the overt self-pity. The covert self-pity is the martyr, where they look like they're a winner. They look really positive, but they're actually feeling unappreciated, misunderstood, hopeless, helpless, and the whole list. They may be feeling any combination or all of those, but they're the ones who will cause the damage in your life. If you think about who hurt you the most in your life, and it's always the same, it's somebody who was in martyrhood, somebody who was living in that vibration of making you feel like your love wasn't valuable enough. They're the villain in your life. The one who is feeling unfairly treated and overburdened and innocent of wrongdoing and all the rest. Yeah, we need to add angry at God to that list, by the way, Devin.
Okay.
All right. That help you there?
Yes, thank you.
Good, good.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, we've really been stretching to get everybody. Oh, we got another hand up. Good.
Bridget.
We got a couple of hands up.
Yeah, hi. I would also like to ask for help with going through the process.
Okay, does that mean discovery or it means you want somebody to assist you?
Somebody to assist me.
Okay, so let's get some volunteers. Hit number two if you'd like to assist Jane. So let's see, we got some people already. Okay. So.
Well, you know what I want to do, Richard? I'm going to put everybody's hands down. I know that Jane, I'll get to you in a second, but I'm going to email the list of everybody on this call, and I'd rather just find out
okay.
if there's anybody who doesn't want their email address on this list.
That's a good idea.
And that way you guys can hook up. All of you
yeah.
have access to each other, and you all know the process. So is there anybody who does not want to be on that list?
Give them a number to press if they don't want
to. I won't say your name out loud if you choose not to be on
yeah.
that list.
Okay, nobody's raising their hand by pressing a keyboard.
Okay.
So.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm just going to send out the full list after the workshop today. So.
Great. And if anybody wants to be back on this call, hit 1 again because I think we might have lost somebody. So if you... Right, good. So, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Bridget?
Yes.
Oh, no, thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome, sure.
Okay. Okay, let's hear from Jane. Hold on 1 second. I have to put you on mic. Okay, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Richard. Thanks very, very much for this. It's wonderful.
Oh, good. Thank you.
This is back again to the thing about expressing anger toward innocent people. And I just can't imagine directing. I'm just wondering a way to do it in such a way that I can feel okay, because I'm not going to express anger toward innocent person, because they really, really were trying to do their best. So have you found ways of doing that?
Well, you just have to separate the fact that you know they were doing their best and you really love them for trying to do their best, but they weren't giving you what you needed, and the part of you that was angry is angry.
It doesn't feel like anger, though. It, it, It feels like frustration. It doesn't
feel
like...
Get into that intense frustration.
Hmm?
But the point is, you got to get it out of your system.
Yeah.
And you can't, you see, you can always justify something and then not have to feel it. But
yeah.
That's just...
No, I don't mind feeling something, but I don't want to direct it at somebody who really was, who loves me and is doing their best and always has.
If anybody feels like you can provide some information here to Jane, hit 3, and maybe we'll put you on to have a conversation, because I know some of you have been going through this one, and it's not one of my personal issues, so it's a little hard for me to talk about, but maybe somebody has some insight on this that you'd like to share. Do we have any?
Yeah,
we got a couple.
Orion or Donna?
Yeah, why don't you folks, we'll put one of you on.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, yes, it's Orion.
Yeah,
hello.
Orion, why don't you speak to the issue, Orion?
Oh, okay, so, yeah, and I realized after the second time I spoke about it that I forgot one of the points that I wanted to make. And, you know, it's like we think if we're expressing anger that automatically means that person is bad. Now, I want to give a related analogy. We often are so reluctant to forgive because we think it means that what that person did to hurt us was acceptable. And that's not what forgiveness is about. It's about us letting go of the energy and putting the rope down that binds us after something hurtful has happened, putting our part of the rope down and freeing ourselves. Similarly, the anger is not about hurting that person or making that person bad. You know, it's like I allowed myself to feel all that anger, knowing, I guess I just have this feeling that no one can truly be hurt. We are all a spark of God, and God can't be hurt. You know, and so it was about sharing. And you know what? Allowing myself to do that means that I'm going to feel a lot easier and stronger and calmer about receiving someone else's anger and knowing that it's not about me being bad. So it goes, I realize it goes both ways, but I had to get to the place where, you know what, this little sister of mine, you know, came into this world too soon. It exacerbated what care I wasn't getting or what attention I wasn't getting or whatever. And I still have my feelings about that, and I will still have them and symptoms until I feel it and allow myself to be human and feel it and get it out of me. It doesn't mean my sister is bad.
Exactly.
Or should somehow, you know, grovel or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's not... Yeah, where is the anger then directed? Because it's not going to be at your sister, because it's not her fault.
Well, directing...
Or do we not have to direct it particularly at all?
Well, here's the thing. Human beings have emotion, period. And what that means is whether or not you like the emotion, approve the emotion, agree with the emotion, it doesn't matter. You have the emotion, and the emotion is what you feel. And so you need to let yourself feel the emotion without judgment. And what you're saying, essentially, is because this person was doing their best, I have no right to have these feelings. I have no right to feel what I feel. But you feel what you feel regardless of whether you have a right to have it or not. You feel what you feel. And
but I guess I can't call it anger because it's not directed at anybody.
Well, it is directed toward what you feel.
Well, I think the difference is directing it at that person is a communication, not a stab in the heart.
Yes, that's a good point. It's a good communication because you're releasing the intensity of what you're feeling. But it's
not
meant to hurt the person. Yeah, you're not meant to hurt the person. You're not even blaming them.
Right.
You know?
And also, I imagined them being the being of love and light that they could be and can be, receiving that, not some, you know, helper.
And they are that
yeah,
that
exactly,
like
and so they have infinite capacity to receive that with love, if they are.
Yeah, because the purpose of the release is for love. The purpose isn't to hurt them or blame them. The purpose is to get back to the vibration of love again. So that's why in the expression of anger, it's okay to even be violent, because it's not about trying to hurt the person. It's about getting the emotion out of your body. Because we store these emotions in our body as conditions, as health conditions or reality conditions of relationship or whatever, financial conditions. We store the unfinished emotion. And so the whole point is get the emotion out. It's not about blaming or punishing or hurting the other person. It's about getting it out of your system. And so when you get locked up like this, you end up being stymied, where you're not allowed to feel what you feel because they were nice people and they did their best. But that is a total sabotage, because you have to feel what you feel regardless of where the cards fall.
It might help to imagine that person as infinitely capable of receiving it, not as somehow fragile and going to get, you know, killed or hurt or martyred or...
It's directed at a person. It doesn't feel it's directed at any person.
Well, direct it then. Direct it.
Yeah, you got to make a choice and move the energy to where you feel it. And maybe we can't talk nebulously about your issue at the moment because we don't know what you're talking about. And when you are more specific, then we can say...
Okay, well, I mean, I can be very specific. I can say that when I was in grade school, my gym teachers were not sympathetic to the fact that I was slower than other kids or something.
Okay, that's perfect.
And they wouldn't let me off the hook, you know.
All right, so what's wrong with being angry at the gym teacher?
Even though, I mean, I didn't go up to her and say, oh, please, no, make me do it.
Okay, but here's the thing. It doesn't matter. You have emotion. You need to feel the emotion. Think of it more in terms of releasing the emotion than hurting the person or being angry at the person. You're angry at the situation, right?
Yes, right.
So be angry. Be really angry at the situation. I'm so angry that here's this person who didn't know any better who's hurting me. So you can be forgiving in the process.
Yeah, okay, I can be angry at the situation.
Be angry at the situation. It doesn't really matter how you hold it, as long as you get that intense emotion out of your system. Orion, thank you so much. That was very helpful.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good.
I have another question about that, Richard.
Yeah,
well,
good.
How does she handle that? Because the question came up for me, too. How does she handle that when it comes to the eggshell stage? You know, for me, it was the church.
Right.
And how do I drop an eggshell in?
All right. What you can do is personify the church as to say one person. So a person who was personifying the problem that you had with the church.
Yeah.
Okay?
Just imagine a person.
Yeah, just imagine a person. I mean, I have, you know, inside myself, even though I wasn't brought up religious, I have enormous emotion about the bullshit that goes on in that world. And the harm that's done to people in that world.
Okay, Richard, did we want to hear from the other people that raised their hands regarding this question?
Sure. I think other people may have some good insight there.
Okay. Penny?
Thanks, Richard.
You're welcome.
Oh, I guess what happened to me was that when I was listening, it came down to actually the first part, which is discovery. And that sometimes when you figure out what it is, you're actually in shock going, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it can be that
way. Never, and it takes a while to process that shock, fear, amazement, whatever words you want to attach to it, before you can even think about processing how to get rid of it. Then you can start having that thought within yourself. But that starts... aha moment of possibly finding something that came from God knows where, because you never realized it. that's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's shocking, and that might take a little time to digest also.
Excellent. Thank you. That's a really good one. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay, so how are we doing now?
Good. We also have Lizzie.
Right, Lizzie, last call for today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. When I was processing the anger I was feeling, I directed it at caregivers of me. I was only little, so I didn't really know who they are, so they were just people there. But the next step, once I was done yelling and being pissed off and being angry with the hospital and all these people, I saw it again, and everybody was really nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
I changed it. Everybody was really nurturing.
Okay.
And I could go to the hospital every day and sit in my mom's bed, and she had me and my brother there, and it was all, there was so much love. So even if you are sending out this anger to these people,
yes,
the next step of the process is to change it and make it the way you wanted it to be, which means that the anger isn't going to be doing any damage.
Actually, you're doing a lot of healing too. By reconnecting
yeah.
to that love with the person, you're doing a lot of healing
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And how much better to just get that anger out of your system and not carry it around anymore. That's just
well,
so beautiful.
Well, because the next step is reorganizing the past, I think Jane was maybe worried that the anger she is feeling and directing is going to be harmful to somebody.
Yeah, it does sound that way
yeah.
when she was describing
like,
it.
I don't even know who was looking after me. I was 2.5. I have
yeah.
no idea. I'd have to go through history to find out.
Right.
So I just had people there.
Yeah.
You know, and I was mad at them because they weren't. My mom wasn't there, and I didn't know where she was, and so on
yeah.
and so forth. So, and then the next step is changing it so that they love you and they understand, and you're, it's all good, and it works really well when you do it that way.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
And thanks for everybody on this call. This has been, what's going on, Devin?
We have 15 more minutes of the call.
Oh, we do?
Oh,
that's
so,
right. It's 12:45. I didn't realize. Okay, let's continue then. Anyone else
yeah.
want to jump in? This is really good
yeah.
stuff. I got my timing wrong. I think I made that mistake one other time.
Okay, we have Kemi.
Okay, Kemi.
I think everybody said everything. The only thing I would add with dealing with people in the martyrdom or who really had the good intentions, what I can see now from this process is if I could go back through and let my anger go, even though I'm dealing with my folks, and my mom was one of these really sweet people, kind of
yeah.
a teddy bear on some level, she was really sweet. If I can go back and heal that in myself, I'm going to heal that with her too. And the other side of this is that beautiful love. And why wouldn't we want to get to that? So I think that we're strong enough, essentially, for me to let that out, because now I know what I'm letting it out at, and that she also cares enough to be healed and healing because she's not here anymore. And I just know that process is going to be healing on another level for her, too. And why wouldn't we want to do it? Because essentially, I mean, I feel like you've got this tool that can heal everything on all these levels. You know, if we just start the process, it's going to ripple through the universe. And it's just incredible. So, you know, I'm not afraid of doing it now, because When you said the things about how you're not good enough and being angry at God, boy, was that a bingo for me. I've been
yeah.
pissed at God for a long time.
Yeah.
And, of course, it makes perfect sense, you know. We've got this tool, and it's really this tool for this letting into that, getting to that love point. And thank you. I was able to get to that thanks to Quantum 2. And I had that experience, and now I know I can bring it into this.
Wow.
So thank you very much.
So exciting, these new tools and how we can use them and transform ourselves in the world. Okay, we have someone else up here too, a couple more.
Okay, go ahead, Joanne.
Hi, I also realized now when I heard Orion talking that I also have an issue with the church that I haven't quite followed through right to the end. When I started getting interested in energy healing, you know, you had this whole thing, you know, people ask you what you're doing and they look at you as a witch, and
right.
they even preach from the pulpit that people shouldn't be doing these things or going to these people. And, yeah, I had a situation where the leader of church, you know, had this story behind my back, and I actually phoned him and I said, I hear that you're very interested in what I'm doing. You know, just go have a look at the website, you know, www.quantumtouch.com. You will see,
sure.
you know, what it is that I'm doing and whatever. And if you still need more information, you're welcome to phone me or come for a session, but they never get so far. So you find that you actually do get a lot of judgment and criticism from the church. But when you ease up under self-judgment and self-criticism, when you come from, you know, that religious background and you release yourself from that, then things get a bit easier for yourself. That's what I found. But I think I really need to dig a bit deeper and just release some more of that.
When you realize... Yeah, when you realize how deep the wound is, because when the spiritual authorities have harmed you, the wound is very deep.
Mm.
And so it takes a long time for people to recover, you know, from that kind of wounding. When
it makes me feel like I've got a lump in my throat when I even just think about it. It's sort of
yeah.
this lump comes up in my throat.
Yeah, you've been hurt.
Mm.
Because throat usually is like a lot of hurt being expressed.
Okay. Sure. A lot of hard work to do then.
Yeah, it is. We got some more folks?
Yeah, let's hear from John.
Well, my thoughts on expressing the anger was it's sort of like stretching a gum band. It's like, you know, take the flying leap and stretch the gum band, even though these were folks that cared for you, if
yeah.
you could telescope your life out, you would see that somewhere along the line, that little, you know, person, somewhere along the line, they were hurt at least once by this person. So it's like, take the flying leap and stretch the gum band, because since it's a gum band, it's going to come flying back. It's like you release the anger, the gum band's going to come right back. So it's like, don't worry, take the flying leap, release the anger, open the door, go for it.
Yeah, that's really true. And we don't realize how destructive anger is when we hold it inside of us. We just don't, as a culture, we don't get the fact that we hurt ourselves by holding on to the anger. And you also think about like the movies, that the biggest theme in movies is redemption through violence. Like, it's all going to be okay if we're just violent, you know? It's like insanity, because it didn't heal anything because the wounding is still inside.
Right. I just said, it's like the thought occurred to me and I had to express it. So it's like, you know, you're a gum band, make that leap, stretch the gum band, because you're going to snap back into a better self. So, you know, express the anger.
Yeah, get it out of your system.
Get it out of your system.
You're poisoning yourself by holding on to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me express that.
Appreciate it. I kind of call it rubber band, but I know what you mean.
All right, rubber band, gum band, whatever.
Yeah, I hadn't heard the other one. Okay, good. Let's move forward.
Yeah. Okay, Orion?
Yeah, I just had a thought, you know, on the... My response to people in churches who would like to make people into witches and so on, for anyone who resonates with it,
mm-hmm.
I tend to calmly remind these people that Jesus said, these things and more shall you do. Not things kind of like this, these things and more
and
shall
more.
You do. You know, maybe you could invite them to maybe participate in what Jesus envisioned instead of shun it.
Yeah, I've had thoughts about that very line myself, where you ask them, so tell me, how do you exemplify, you know, did Jesus really mean it when he said that? And they'll say, well, of course. They say, well, great, how do you exemplify that? How do you demonstrate that? And when they seem like, well, let me show you how I can exemplify it by having love from one to another. You know, where can they object except that it violates their belief? But they're contradicting themselves because of their belief in Jesus or God or whatever. You know, it says, yes, he says that, but he doesn't really mean it. You know, that's pretty crazy. So yeah, there's so many contradictions that could be pointed out, but we need to find our own inner peace.
Okay, let's hear from Stephanie.
Hi, yes. I was thinking a couple things, and I'm not sure if anything like this has been said exactly around some of the issues people are having with emotions. And first, let me say thank you much for everything you were sharing about martyrdom. I was doing what I could to work with the issue of martyr yesterday and didn't hadn't seen your list, and I think that's going to be really helpful to me, everything you were saying.
Yeah.
And the effects of that on other people, and looking at all that more deeply, definitely come from a whole lineage of martyrs.
I understand.
I was thinking yesterday how I've been trained to be a martyr, but that's a good thing. You know, that was like the highest role model that somebody could be.
You know what martyrs are? Martyrs are terrorists. And the reason that's true is the people who actually explode themselves and other people feel unappreciated, misunderstood, overburdened, innocent of wrongdoing, and so forth. They don't, and they feel justified in doing it because of their suffering. And when anybody causes you tremendous pain in your life, it's usually always a martyr. And so whether it's saying, I suffer for you, you know, I'm sacrificing so you can have something, and they're martyring themselves, or it's somebody going all the way to the furthest extreme and blowing themselves up. The terrorists in our world are martyrs, whether it's the benign mother or father or the extreme political person. These are our terrorists in our reality, is the ones who are suffering. Silently suffering. It's unfortunate, in my opinion, that the church has, you know, canonized them and made them into saints.
Mm-hmm.
It's all backwards. The people who are leaving the most joyous lives are the ones we should emulate.
And I think it's, you know, another word for it in some ways is codependency, and how our society, or at least much of our society, trains particularly women, but all people, I think, to be codependent, meaning putting other people's needs first.
Exactly. And if you actually
do that.
That's so true. And if you look at most people's relationship with God, they have an abusive, codependent relationship with God. What does God do? He's watching everything you do. He's going to punish you. He's going to take away your family. He's going to kill people. He's going to take away your property. He's going to do all this stuff. This is how, you know, abusive, codependent relationships operate, where they're going to threaten you, your family, your health, your pets, your home, everything, your finances, your success. They'll take anything away. And they're watching everything you do. That's an abusive, codependent relationship. So I guess I'm not, you know, a big...
No, I kind of blanked out for a moment. I apologize.
It's okay. I said a lot. It's been recorded if you want to hear that again.
Sometimes I blank out on the things I most need to hear.
Yeah, well,
so.
this was pretty intense, so you can listen to it later.
To share around this whole issue of emotions that, like some may have been said, one is that emotions aren't logical and that they're impersonal, really. That, you know, like if you just imagine watching a movie or TV or radio or life, that people will have different reactions to the exact same thing. And somebody may be very happy something's happening, and somebody else may be sad, and somebody else angry, and
yes,
and that, you know, sometimes people compare life to, you know, just being a play and everybody being actors on the stage. And in a way, I think that's true, in that, you know, some people, whether on a soul level or whatever, have chosen to be the bad guys. And some people say it's particularly the people that are the bad guys in our lives that love us the most, because they're helping us to give us whatever we need so that we can get to that place of having even greater love.
Well, it's
and that's a different sacrifice.
It can be a valuable perspective. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So this will be our last one today. We have
yes.
one more.
Violette?
It's actually Pam.
Okay.
Going with her. Yeah, I just wanted to make one comment about the people who were thinking through energy healing in the church. And there's a couple people in the energy field who actually base all of their stuff on the Bible, so they've had to think through it a lot.
Good.
And one of those people is Dr. Alex Lloyd, who wrote the Healing Codes.
Mm-hmm.
If you go onto his website, he has pages and pages of the biblical basis for energy healing. And there's a lot of overlap of what he does with
there's
you.
There's a lot of laying on of hands in the Bible, too.
Yeah, yeah. So there's plenty out there of people who have made it sort of big in the energy field and also remain in their conservative churches have thought it through, right about it.
And they've thought it through to the other side. That's good.
Yeah.
And they still they still burned a lot of witches too, so that's unfortunate.
Yes, that's very true.
Well, thank you everybody so much. It's been a really fantastic time, and I'll talk to you again on Saturday coming up, and we'll ask everybody, see if you can go all the way through the process if you haven't done that already, and if you have done it already, see if you can take it on another issue all the way through the process so you can really own this material. That's the point of the workshop, is that you own it, not just that you learn it, but that you exemplify it. So let's put everybody on mic.
Okay.
And we can all say goodbye.
Hold on 1 second. There we go.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. See you next
bye,
Richard.
Bye, Devin. Okay, bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, pal.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you. Thank you very much.